2021, right, dedicated to the Lord God, and we praise him together, united with one heart to the praise of his glory. And you'll have remembered in hearing the word that Lee-chan just read to us that this is mentioned three times in this powerful passage in Ephesians that Paul wrote to not only the church in Ephesus, but it was meant for all the churches in existence at that time to be shared with all of them. It's a very powerful passage. I think you'll agree with me. And we want to look at this together. It has inspired many people to write fabulous things about it. I came across one thing that I wanted to share with you because this really got me and I just really liked it a lot. A man named Simpson said, as Paul muses on the fathomless fountain of grace, his soul is stirred to its depths, and we see him sally forth like some long-winded racehorse, impatient of every intervening barrier and careening onward at full speed beyond the middle of the chapter before he can check his impetuous pace and pull the reins back. I love that because he's just overtaken by this fountain of grace and this message that the Holy Spirit has poured into his soul that he has been gripped by in his greeting to the people there at the church. Now that, brothers and sisters, is the kind of an attitude that we want to have when we think of Grace Church each time that we come here or each time that we gather or each time that we think about it in any way, shape, or form. Right? That it has been formed by Jesus Christ and by his grace. And our church name is not merely a name that we put on a bulletin or that we put on the website or something like that. And it's not just something that identifies our church aside from other OCM churches, OCM Grace Church. It is OCM, the Grace of God Church, the Grace of Jesus Christ Church that we have chosen. And whoever chose that word for that purpose really chose a great word because it exemplifies what our faith is all about, right? And so we want to feel really super happy and filled with praise for God when we think that we have a church that is named Grace Church. Okay, so let's agree that when we speak of Grace Church, that we are going to be very intentively praising God through it. You know, and being reminded of that, and not just that, but the people in the church, every one of us. And that is what we are talking about here, that we are dedicated with one heart, right, to his glory, dedicated with one heart, that each one of us has that same heart that has been touched by God's grace. There's another man, a really wonderful scholar named William Lane, and he has a great outline for this chapter, because this chapter these verses within this chapter, 3 to 14, originally in the Greek, were one continuous sentence. Maybe you had that sense when Lee-chan was reading it today. It's a continuation of thought all the way through it, and there are clauses within this. But in the Greek, the original language, right, Paul was writing one full long sentence to talk about all these great things of the reminder of God's grace. But this is really a helpful outline that I want to provide to you as we take a look at this together. First of all, he says that before God spoke the creative word, which brought the world into being, he chose us to be a holy and blameless people. Amazing thought, isn't it? Before God spoke the creative word, let there be light, let all these things come into being. He chose us as a holy and blameless people, right? That's the beginning. Then it goes into the next part. He determined we should be his sons and daughters and the church a family from verse 6. It's amazing. Do you think of our church as being a family, right? I'm going to meet with my family today for worship, right? You and your families, wherever you are, a family, right? But you also have a family in the church of Grace Church because God has deemed it so. He determined sons and daughters, and sons and daughters belong in the family of God, and that is Christ's church. The next part, he made provision for the removal of our guilt and the enrichment of our lives through abundant grace. And there is that great grace that we were talking about. From verse 7, it says there, and it's mentioned again, it's previous to in verse 6 and 7, right? This grace is mentioned there. God sent Jesus Christ into the world to overcome the distance between himself and the world through the death on the cross, right? Through his death on the cross, overcoming the distance between himself and the world. And this is one of the great themes of this passage here, to remind us that God is taking away that distance between us through his son Jesus. And then this last part here, going into the verses, the final verses, it's a cosmic thing as well. And when we're talking about that, it's drawing upon the ultimate secret of God's will, that his son should be the head of all things, earthly and heavenly. And so it's just the whole universe that is singing in praise of his glory, right? And so the overall picture is one in which God overcomes the alienation between the world and himself through Jesus Christ. And that is going to come across time and again in these verses of this beautiful writing that Paul has given to us. As we look at what Paul writes in these verses, everyone, it will hopefully help us to understand that we, like Paul, are so taken with the amazing love of God shown through the grace in Jesus Christ that we want to speak and live out lives of praise to his glory. Amen? That we are so gripped by it and taken by it that we want to just praise the Lord, just like we were led in the spirit in the singing of the hymns today, to open our praise today. And also in the words of the call to worship, we can see the meaning of worship and the liturgy of the church and the worship service all coming into view here. And so we want to take a look at this powerful scripture together during this time. Let us turn to those words at the beginning where it says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that with me together at home? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the powerful way that God is calling us, everyone, to begin this new year. The focus is not on resolutions. It is not on our own coming into this 2021 and thinking, now we can begin a year of hope. Because of the things that are going to change in terms of an immunization towards the virus. It is the Church of Jesus Christ that focuses blessing and pouring out praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he goes into this next part, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I told the kids, if they ever had to, you know, if they ever had a bad day, to read those verses from Psalm 145, here's another one. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That is what God has given to us, and that is the reason that we praise him. And this word, these two words, in Christ, are going to be very important for us as we look at God's word together. In this passage here, it will be repeated in Christ, through Christ. It is the emphasis there that he is the one that God has blessed us with. It is indeed his Father. He is the Son of the Father, and he has blessed us in him with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Oh, won't you want to go into this year and say, Lord, show me all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be able to do that. You know, I forgot to say that actually this entire section here, and indeed the entire letter to Ephesus, this entire book of Ephesians, has been expressed as being a great prayer to God, right? I never looked at it that way, but now I do see it, and it's all throughout there. There are prayers. But it's found in different ways. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a proclamation, but it is also a wonderful prayer to God, right? God, you are the one who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I forgot that, God. I forgot that when I started to think about all the different things that were going wrong in my life, and I see all of the woe and the lack of hope in this world, but I forgot that you have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise your name, right? Now you can understand why the guy was saying he's going forward like a man on a horse, riding on a horse. He's so taken by this passage and that God has given to him, reminded of all the blessing that he received. And so you can just say, really, Lord, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Bless your name for blessing me. Oh, man, I love you, Lord. I love you so much because you have done that. And then it goes into these parts where he's talking about the cosmic things, you know, that the man William Lane was mentioning. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Take that in for a moment. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, right? Before the foundation, before God's created word came into being and he called things into being that way. That we should be a holy and blameless people before him. And the thing, when I look at this and I see this, I'm taken aback and I'm thinking about those words that were in the call to worship today, right? That nothing was made without Jesus Christ that was made. Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And nothing was made without him. Jesus was there at the beginning of time, and Jesus is the one who left this heavenly abode and came down into the world to give us this salvation through the cross and resurrection from the dead. Even as he chose us, he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that you would be holy and blameless before him. How is that brought about? We're going to hear about it in the next parts of these verses, but it is really God who chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before anything was created, and that brings us into the greatness of God and why we praise him, that he, even before all the things that we experience and know as being real, had a plan for us. And what was it? That we should be holy and blameless. That he was going to bring this about. Sinful people he desired to have communion with, and he desired for them to be holy and blameless. How is it done? In Christ. In Christ, we are made holy and blameless before him. And that also shows us the greatness of his plan that he was going to bring about through Jesus Christ. And so we'll go on to the next section. In love. Ah, there we go. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Do you see the family? Do you see the family that he's talking about here? That as his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, that was his will. That was his desire. That was what the will that we seek in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we in this new year, that we seek the purposes of his will, and then we are on solid ground. In Christ, my hope is found, right? It's on solid ground, right? It's on the purpose of the Father's will, right? In love. So remember, we have a God who is defined by love. His love for us sets him apart. There's no other God like our God. He is the only one that pours his love out to us, and he shows it to us. He is adopting us to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who is God, but also the Son of God. And so there isn't any adoption there, but he has made it possible for us to join his family through adoption, despite our sinfulness, right? Despite the fact that he gave us life, we are truly made family members, daughters and sons of God through Jesus Christ. And when we believe in him, we become that. We become children of God. We become sons and daughters of him according to his will. That is what he brought, was going to bring about, and it was fulfilled. To the praise, and here we are at the first refrain, and this is mentioned three times here in different ways, but here it is to the praise of his glorious grace. That is the goal. That is the goal here, that God has given us life and shown these great things and brought them about to reconcile us with him to the praise of his glorious grace, so that we see that this glorious grace of his is so important. And that, just like I was telling the children, that even when we have done something that we feel that is just so terrible and terrified that we are going to be blamed for, that God comes in this surprising way. Surprising to us, but not to him, because he knows that his grace is so powerful and real, and his love is so real. To the praise of his glorious grace, that is what we are built for. That is what we are made for, and that is what this year is for, everyone. To the praise of his glorious grace, that we are going to be so taken up in this walk together, as we go through the scriptures together, as we walk through this life as the family of God, to praise him for this. The glorious grace and the glory of God is found in that. We give glory to him, right? God is great in his presence. His presence shows us his glory. It is also defined by his light that he brings into our lives, this being that wants to share himself with us, this light-filled grace that is ours for the taking, the gift of God. We only need to receive it, which he has blessed us in the Beloved. And of course, the Beloved is Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with his glorious grace. And so you see, this is just seeping with blessing for us. And it always comes back to one person. It's Jesus Christ. The blessing is found in him. All of these things are waiting for us in this way. I want to share a couple of things on the subject of grace. It also shows in the next verse. If you wouldn't mind, can we have the next slide? It says in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And so you see there that the riches of his grace, the wealth of his grace, is found in redemption in Jesus through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, and that is in keeping with the riches of his grace, right? That is so important there. I just want to read a couple of things that help us to understand the word grace a little bit more. Chuck Swindoll has written a wonderful book on grace. I hope you'll look up. I can provide that information to you this week. I bought a devotion version of it so that for 30 days I can have a devotional in grace, because I really want to learn more about God's grace. And I think Chuck Swindoll, a great pastor and a scholar, has given to us in that book. He said that grace is to extend favor or kindness to one who doesn't deserve it and can never earn it. Let me just repeat that again. Grace is to extend favor or kindness to one who doesn't deserve it and can never earn it. You know, when I was thinking about these words, I really agree with him and I like what he has to say. I would apply those things in the church, you know, in our church life and in relationships together. If we take that and we look at what God has shown towards us, in that we were yet sinners and Christ died for us, right? He extended his grace toward us so that we didn't have to fear God's wrath, but we knew that Christ was going to be there for us. In our daily lives, oftentimes we have things that happen and we get caught up in the moment and people do things that in our view are unpardonable, right? Sometimes it's the silliest thing. Wouldn't you agree with me? A lot of times the source of the biggest arguments are the slightest and the smallest things. And yet Satan loves to make those things big. And they grow in our minds. You know why? Because we don't remember that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And we are his children. And so grace in those moments reminds us and speaks to our hearts and says, I could react in anger. I could react without mercy. I could react without love, right? I could react without grace, but grace has been given to me. Grace has been given to me, and therefore I will consistently react and have an attitude of Jesus' grace with everyone in my life. Now, we need to take that to heart and to really think about instances and people in our lives where we have been gripped not by the power of this passage that reminds us to bless the Lord because he has blessed us in Christ with the glorious grace, with the riches of his grace, the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, all according to his grace. And so we are gripped by those messages and reminded, and as we go along we pray for God to instill in us this attitude, so that the attitude of reaction in a way that is contrary to grace never enters our minds. We have grace filled days, we have grace filled nights. Think about someone in your life today that you need to show grace to. and begin today to let go of anything that is the opposite of grace and to have that attitude towards them that Christ has given to you. The late pastor, I have a slide here. Would you mind skipping back to the slide for that I mentioned today? It's from a pastor and Bible scholar, Donald Barnhouse, and perhaps he says it best here. Love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection. Love that stoops is grace. And the reason that he says that love that stoops is grace is that there is an understanding in this word grace from the Hebrew use of a similar word in the Old Testament that talks of grace as being someone who bends or stoops down, right? We bend downward. We stoop downward. We don't feel that we are above anyone and that people who do things to us are going to be treated in a way that is haughty or arrogant, right? We stoop down. Grace stoops down. Why do we believe that? Because that is what Jesus did, right? Jesus was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he really, he just stooped down, right? And God the Father stooped down by sending Jesus into the world. And not only that, to come as a babe in Bethlehem and to be born in that way, in such a humble way, but to grow up and then to offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross is a stooping down. It's a bending down of his glory and all those things, and showing us what true grace is. And so grace is love that stoops, right? It stoops down. It bends down. It doesn't stay aloof and back and stiff and really rigidly defending your own view and saying, I don't care. I'm going to hold myself in this position. Look at the way that I look now. Do we want to look like that in life inside of us, or do we want to look like this? Amen. You know what? Grace has been extended to me. And you may have thought of that as being something that is wrong and everything like that, but I love you. And I mean that because Christ has taught me to be that way. Let me read you something else. A pastor named Herbert Lathe wrote this about this whole mean, and this really describes all of this grace that has been described to us so well. The Christian's title to heaven as joint heir with Christ is unchallengeable. It's not because his life has been free from wickedness. It's not because God is indulgent or because all sinners will sometime and somehow be brought home. It is because God, for unfathomable reasons, chose him and raised him up from the grave wherein he lay bound and loosed him from sin and gave him a new heart and made him a son forever. It is all of grace. And that describes us as people that are lost. For some unfathomable reason, God chose us, raised us up from the grave where we were laying bound in shackles, and loosed from sin, and given a new heart, and given sonship and daughtership forever. It's full of grace. It's all of grace. And that, I think, is a great description of what we see in these scriptures today before us. Just powerful, powerful words that people have been inspired to write to help us as Christians. Praise God for those people as they have done that and that they have given this to us. Grace, everyone, is a key theme in Ephesians. It's through grace we have been saved, chapter 2, 5, and 8. It's through grace we have been saved. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that we've just read in verse 7. Paul's receiving the gospel, his receiving the calling from God to minister to the Gentiles, his ability to fulfill his calling, were all due to God's grace. And he tells us that. It's of no power of his own. It's through none of his own power or his works that it was brought about. And that's found in chapter 3, verse 2 and verses 7 and 8. And in this paragraph, God's grace and salvation are synonymous. Grace and salvation are synonymous, right? It's this brilliant and wonderful God that we are praising today. And so let's go on. In him, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And here we are in this heavenly language that is coming into us from Jesus Christ to inspire us and to fill us with the goodness of God, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. And so we look at these things that God, can we go back for just a moment? Right? Making known to us the mystery of his will, that God in all of his vastness and his greatness, that he has brought all of this universe into being, that he is the one that knows that the galaxies have no end in our sight, that we can't even bring it all in, that this God that is greater than anything that we can ever imagine in our minds is making known to us the mystery of his will. He is revealing himself to us. He's revealing his plan. What is it? To make us sons and daughters of his, right? That this great God in all the mystery, and everybody is saying, oh, we could never know God. I can't see him, or he's too vast and things like this. He's saying, no. He's making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose set forth in Christ. Jesus is the way that I know the mystery of his will. He is defining it this way. He's revealing the mystery of his will. This mystery becomes something that is not a mystery. There are things, of course, of God that we will never understand, but he desires for us to know as much as we can. And the way that we do that is by pouring ourselves out in praise of him and inviting him into our hearts. The man that I just quoted here was saying it so well, and it kind of inspired the title for this sermon today. With one heart that is made up of hearts that have been saved by the grace of God. And that is the impetus that we have to live in harmony with one another. None of us has received the grace of God by what we have done. No one is superior to anyone else. We are all the result of God's grace and forgiveness and salvation working in our hearts that he alone has made possible for us. And so therefore, there is no excuse for us to live in any other way but in love that he has shown to us, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. And these words are one that are calling out to us for further study this year as you go into your Bibles to say, what is this that he's talking about here, which he set forth as a plan for the fullness of time, that Jesus came just at the right time in all of the time that we know in the history of mankind. But it's beyond that. It's in the fullness of time of all the universe, right? We can go on to the next slide. To unite all things in him. And here is that other part to our theme this year and also to the sermon today. With one heart, united in all things in him, united in love, not love of man's making. Love is not man-made. The love that we're talking about is one that is given to us through God and in Christ, to unite all things in him. And so we are united together in Grace Church in him. In Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. And this is the cosmic part that William Lane was calling our attention to. Things in heaven and things on earth. It goes beyond our own lives. It goes beyond all the things that we see. It's a cosmic thing. The entire universe is made by God and created by God and shouts out his glory, praise to him, right? But he is uniting all of the universe, the people that he has created and all the things that he has created in heaven and things on earth for his glory. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, right? Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, right? In him, we have something waiting for us. Just as the Son of God, right? He received the glory that was his from the beginning of time, before the beginning, always was, because God always is and always will be, right? According to the purpose of him, works all things according to the counsel of his will. We're repeating that again to emphasize that God has deemed it so. This is an inheritance for us, that this life is not all there is, that there is much more waiting for those who belong to God, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And there is the second time that it's mentioned here, that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. You may not fully understand this. I'm not sure if I really do. In fact, I know I don't. I haven't fully realized it because I'm not in heaven yet. We understand these things fully when we see the glory of God in its fullness there. And we are away from all of the sin and all of the things that surround us in this life, right? But I do know this, that God has put it on our agenda, this schedule for Grace Church, to be to the praise of his glory. How does that apply to your life? Write it down. God, how can I, in Christ, be to the praise of your glory this year? Help me to be able to understand what that means, so that my heart is not torn by the things of this world and torn away from you, but that I turn to you, acknowledging that my purpose in life is to glorify your name. Right? Unifying here is so important. Lavished, being lavished out, making known to his history. Unite all things to him. We are a church, are united in one heart in Christ. Right? This is just otherworldly. Powerful, powerful words. And now let us look at the rest of these verses just at the end. In him, again. Do you see it? It's beginning to become more evident. Again, we say these words, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. That is what God is calling to us today as Grace Church, as people of him in Grace Church. And so we see this, to in him you also. And he changes it now from we, and he personalizes it for them in the plural to speak to the community there. And community of Christ, of Grace Church, brothers and sisters, God, let these words now sink into our hearts that Paul has written through the Holy Spirit for us to hear. In him, the people, you, I, also, when we hear the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, our salvation, and believed in him, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Nothing can take us away from God. Nothing can take that salvation away from us. No one on the face of this earth can do that. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, came at Pentecost. And from that day forth, believers in Jesus Christ, when they're baptized, they receive the Holy Spirit. And that is the promise of God to us. He promised it to the disciples, and he promises it to us now, that we are sealed in this way. It can't be broken. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. In a world where there are no guarantees, supposedly, he is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it when we meet God in heaven. And that is where we are going. That is the road of our pilgrimage. That is where we are, where this road is leading us to. And so we see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit at work here in this powerful, powerful passage, a prayer to God to bless his name, who has blessed us in Jesus Christ with his grace that is glorious, with the riches of his grace. If you're striving for riches in this world and you feel that you're going to find that riches in this world are the only means to feel fulfillment, take a look at these verses today and you will be reminded that true wealth is found in the riches of Jesus Christ's grace. I'm rich. You're rich. Because we have such a Savior. We have such a great God. We have such wealth. And the wealth is meant to spread around. And so we want to this year be doing that in this theme that we have through prayer. Come to the point of writing down in words based on the scripture of God that we are united in love, that God loved us, and that we would then love one another. And that is what Jesus prayed for his disciples before he left them, that they would love one another. And then, and also that people would see that love at work in us and that they would be drawn into it. And they would see Jesus as being the one who loves them and that they would be saved. And so let us also be true to our calling. Let us be true to the trust that has been given to us of the gospel of Jesus Christ this year, right? Boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ. If you need the impetus, if you're lacking in confidence, if you're lacking in courage, read the verses of Paul that we have just read today, and they will instill you with the power that you need. The truth of God and the amazing grace that he pours into these verses that makes himself evident to us. And then we are equipped for the proclamation of God's words. Amen. And so now we have just learned, we have just seen a hymn in with three different stanzas and three refrains pointing to the glory of God. And so now let us sing a song written by Fanny Crosby that draws us into this and lifts our hearts into praise. To God be the glory.